All right. Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Impacting Life 24/7 with your host, CL King. We're coming to you live from the High Definition Studios here in Jacksonville, North Carolina, the home of Marine Corps Base Camp Lejeune. And I just want to tell you that one of the things that I love about doing this podcast that I've grown to love, sometimes it's stressful. It's only stressful when my equipment isn't working or the internet wants to act jankety. But one of the things that I've really learned to appreciate about hosting a podcast is that every Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday, I get to meet someone new. It's like having a guest over three or four times a week. Now, sometimes it's stressful when you got guests coming over. You got to clean up. You know, when I had my kids clean back in the days, they would say, "Dad, who's coming over?" I said, "Listen, y'all, we don't just clean when when there's guests coming over." But the cool thing about Impact Life 24/7 is that we get to talk to people from all walks of life who have been making impacts in various ways. You know, I was thinking about the dynamics and the differences that I've seen in this show in terms of, you know, just a few days ago, we had on our show Kelly and Matthew. And Matthew was a guy who had a stroke and then he had kidney failure. And Kelly was on the total opposite spectrum. Their worlds were not connected except through Cub Scouts. And when she heard that his kidneys failed, she decided to give him her kidney. And I was just like, you know what? This is why we do this show, because I want America and the rest of the world to know that we, you know, I know there's a lot of doom and gloom, and I know that there's a lot of fighting, and I know there's a lot of everybody in their corner with their boxing gloves on. But on this show, what we're trying to do is we're trying to send a message that, hey, listen, there are still people out here that have smiles on their faces and they're making an impact. There are still people out here that have their nose to the grind and they are making stuff happen even when it looks like it's impossible for anything good to take place. And that's why when I sat down with Greg and I said, "Listen, man, we're going to make this podcast the real deal. We're going all out, baby." I said, "Listen, we want guests on here that when my audience hears what they have to say, they will be impacted." Now, listen, just the other day with the kidney donation story, I realized this: that brother who lost his kidneys, he had high blood pressure. And I said, "You know what? I got high blood pressure and I need to get my act together. I need to start taking my high blood pressure medicine and I need to stop eating everything that isn't nailed down to the table." But again, that's an impact. And so in this diverse world that we're living in this global diversity that we're experiencing, and this shift to a digital world, there really is no excuse why you have to pump yourself full of negativity when you have a show like this. When you have Impacting Life 24/7, let me tell you something right now, it's going to be positive. And so, ladies and gentlemen, I am blessed to have in our virtual studios with me tonight the president and founder and executive director and the man in charge, Aaron Wanke of Executive Staffing Solutions. Welcome, Aaron.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate this.
Yes, sir. And one of the things that people don't realize in the pre-show, Aaron, is that, man, me and you get to solve just about everything under the sun, including world hunger, in the pre-show, you know? And so I'm so thankful that you took time out of your schedule to be on Impacting Life 24/7. And your story and your determination and your entrepreneurship and your fatherhood whole story is really going to, I feel, enhance our listeners. And that's one of the things that I liked about what I saw when you responded. Aaron and I are a part of a mutual group in the podcast world. And I put out some information that I wanted some new guests, and his response, he didn't even respond to me. I think he responded to someone else. Whatever the case is, his response was so on point. I said, "I've got to have Aaron on my show before we close out the year." And so thank you for committing to do that. Aaron, for those who don't know you, like many who come on who don't know me, tell us a little bit about yourself, sir.
Sure. And again, thank you for having me on. And I really appreciate this opportunity to get to know you and your audience. And my goal tonight is provide as much value for people so they can take a step forward, whatever that step is for them. Who am I? So I actually was born in Orchard Park, New York. I moved to Ohio, where I live now. I did go to college. I played baseball in college. And then I worked for another company for about 2.5, 3 years. And after about 3 years, I realized I think I can do this better myself. And so I'm going to take this risk and go for it. And here I am 20 years later. We just celebrated our 20-year anniversary in August of this year. I'm very fortunate because it is not all on me. I've got a great team of people I've worked with and support at home that's really put me in the position I am today, which I'm very grateful for.
Wow. You know, hey, Greg, the VP is on deck. He's letting us know. Our executive producer, Greg Smith, who's also the VP of my company, he's on deck, and he's going to get a lot out of this because we love to hear about people who what you did. Our audience is going to be really enlightened tonight. So here we are, 2020, and you being a business owner, how would you rate this year, 2020, with the year when you started your business? You started your business after 9/11, correct?
Right before 9/11.
Right before 9/11. So you started your business, you're going to pursue your dreams, and then bam, 9/11 hit. Well, there's people out here that started their dreams and began their passions at the end of December or January, and then bam, here's COVID. How would you compare the two elements?
I think they were very different. I think my reaction was the same to both. When 9/11 happened, I think a natural defense mechanism went up for everybody and wondering if our family's going to be okay. Is our community going to be okay? Is our country going to be okay?
Right.
With COVID, we quickly realized this is the world disease that we're all fighting through together and that we're all in this together. What's interesting, and I didn't see it as much with 9/11, is how people respond to adversity. You know, there's some people who are still in their homes who won't come out, and there's people who are out day to day living their lives like nothing happened, and there's a lot of people in between. And I'm not here to say which one's right or which one's wrong,
right?
But we're learning a lot about the human spirit on how people respond to the adversity that we're all dealing with.
Yeah, and definitely it's not just exposing a lot of things. In exposing people, but it's revealing, you know, what's our metal and what we're made out of. And so you started a great business 20 years ago, and it's called Executive Staffing Solutions. So what do you guys do there?
So we're an executive recruiting company. We primarily work with health insurance companies, and that health insurance company will call us up and say, I need a sales manager in Portland, Oregon. And then it's our job to go find individuals who could be qualified for that job. And so our vertical niche is just that. You're across the world who recruit in any vertical niche you can think of, whether that's cheese, engineers, attorneys, shop makers, forklift drivers. There's recruiters for anybody and everything. And if your audience is interested in that, I'll say this.
Well, that's cool. And when you started this, is that your previous, you know, in your previous life, were you associated with a business such as that?
Yes, I previously worked for another recruiting firm or owner. And one of the things that I realized early in my life is I'm going to come in contact with a lot of people who I'm going to agree with and some I'm not going to agree with. But it's just important that I learn something from everybody.
Right.
Sometimes as I learn what to do, sometimes I learn what not to do.
Right.
I told somebody earlier today, I've never had an original idea. I just steal everybody else's idea, tweak it a little bit, and then it becomes my idea. So I'm going to learn from people. And what I learned from my first business owner was there's just some things he was doing about how he ran the business and how he treated individuals. It's like he's got a good business, but he's missing some things. So I want to go take my shot and let's see if I can do it better.
Nice. And so 20 years later, I guess you guys have created a little revenue with your business?
Yes, we've had a lot of success, which I'm very fortunate, but it's not because of me 100%. I've been really conscious of the culture we build. And I realize that culture is essential for any business. You can have the best business in the world, but if you don't have the right people in the right positions, you don't have a business. The flip side is you can have a mediocre business, but you got incredible people, and that business can thrive if you have the right people in the right positions.
Man, listen to this, ladies and gentlemen, because I did a whole show on workplace culture several months ago with Dr. Michael Black. And that show, because I am a workplace culture fanatic. I feel, and listen, I'm so much of a fanatic. And let me calm down, keep my blood pressure under control. I am so much of a fanatic that I go live every time I go through the parking lot at Chick-fil-A. Every time. Because I cannot believe that there is a place in town that feels like it's their pleasure for me to come and get their chicken sandwich. Every time I say thank you to those people, they respond with my pleasure. And I said, you know what? Even though your chicken sandwich is a little more than that double burger down the street, the way you made me feel, and I even sometimes interview the folks, I'm like, why do you guys act like this? And they say, well, because we like working here. So culture is important in any industry, especially if you're going to build it like you did from the ground up. Now tell us about some of the heartaches that you experienced building a business from scratch.
It's not easy, and it's not for everybody. The first 9 months I started my business, I didn't take a paycheck. And then 9/11 happened. And there's a couple of times where I didn't take a paycheck. When COVID started right away, I immediately took myself off the payroll and said, I'm gonna do this for 60 days and see where we are. Because I believe in the business and the people here, and they're worth the risk. And when I started the business, I was worth the risk because I knew failure was not an option. I was gonna make this work. It probably wasn't gonna be the way I envisioned it, but through the adversity, we were gonna persevere through that. And owning a business is just like life. There's gonna be ups and downs. There's gonna be adversity. It's just, how are you gonna respond to that adversity? And how do you choose to respond to it? And how quickly can you respond to it? And not everybody responds the same, but I think that's what I've worked on. And I've really worked with my team to, how are we gonna respond to adversity? And to go back to what you said about culture, you'll appreciate this. So our company is consistently ranked one of the best places to work in Columbus, Ohio. And so we got all these plaques and awards on our counter about being the best place to work. And what's great about it is I have nothing to do with it. It's the team that says, we want to nominate ourselves. We're the best place to work. This is why we're the best place to work. Wow. I have nothing to do about it. So I am really proud of that.
That's beautiful. Hello, Augie. He's chiming in. Augie is a regular on our show. He travels all across the country. He's a long-haul truck driver, and he just lets us know that where he's coming in and tuning in from. He's over there in Oklahoma with the waving wheat. So, Augie, we appreciate you. Augie, during the height of the pandemic, where a lot of truck drivers were coming off the road, Augie did not come off the road. In fact, Augie stayed on the road from the beginning of the pandemic in February all the way, I believe, till June. He did not come home. And so wow. that's the kind of folks that tune into Impact Life 24/7. So thank you, Augie. And yeah, and that's the beautiful thing about it. You know, you can, and I've evolved over the years because my military background, I was probably a little more aggressive and a little more demanding. But then when I really started tapping into the reality that, man, getting the synergy from the whole and getting people's buy-in and people's input and them feeling like they're a part of this rock going uphill, that really changed even my approach to my business. And so that's cool that they're nominating them, you know, saying, hey, look, this is the place to work. And if I needed a job, listen, do you know me and you are from the same state?
I did not know that.
Yeah, I'm from Cleveland, Ohio, brother.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess we're both pseudo Browns fans, right?
Yeah, not this one, but that's okay.
What are you, Cincinnati?
Yeah, I prefer Cincinnati over Cleveland.
Yeah. I was, and you and I are young enough to remember when there was Bernie Kosar and the Browns back in the days. I think that was the last time I ever recall them winning. So I have moved to Carolina. I've been here since for about 26 years, so I am a Carolina Panthers fan. So let's when we talk about entrepreneurship, because you are an entrepreneur, you're a small business owner, you got 20 employees. Is that what you said you had?
Yes.
Some people, especially during this season that we're in, that they have dreams, they have passions, but they don't even really know where to start. Now, you started from the ground up. You started with a total clean slate. But if for my listeners out there, all every walk of life, people listen to this show in the Philippines, all the way over, in everywhere you can think of, people tune in. What would you tell someone who's just like, man, I hear what he did, and it, 20 years and success and great culture, but here I am at brick number one. Can you give the folks like that a couple insights on what their next steps are, even in the midst of a pandemic?
Yeah, so I would say, you know, when you hear about a business owner, it's always assumed that the person started it from scratch, out of their garage, and they just ground it out. But there's a lot of really good businesses out there that you don't have to start from scratch, that you can copy, or better yet, go work for some of those companies. Find businesses where the owner may be in their 50s, 60s, 70s, or 80s, and maybe thinking about retirement, that you could perhaps shadow that person for 5 or 10 years, learn the business, earn some equity over time, and have your intentions up front of what you want to do. I want to see this business survive. I want to fund your retirement, but I need to learn your business to do it. I think that's frankly easier to do than start your business from scratch. But that just depends on your personal makeup, on what you feel is right for you.
Well, and like I think me and you talked off air, I liken that example to what you said to, you know, my home buying experiences over the years. The last couple of houses I've bought, you know, were houses that were already in existence. Well, the last house I bought, I've lived in it for 2 years, and I got all the bugs worked out. The owners repaired everything throughout the 2 years, and when they decided they didn't want to renew their lease, I had pretty much a mint condition home because all the bugs were worked out. And so that's true, you know. And a lot of, and let me just say that to you folks out there listening on Impacting Life 24/7. I'm joined by my guest, Aaron Wanke, the president of Executive Staffing Solutions and also the president of Purpose and Wisdom Coaching. And one of the things that oftentimes people think of is, okay, I got to start at absolute ground zero. Listen to what he said. He said, go plug into a business that's in your niche or your niche. My wife says it's not niche, but that's she got me on that one. Go plug into something that's of your passion, and make that thing succeed, and then take it over. That's a I don't really hear that a lot in a lot of business classes that I hear, that I listen to. Why do you think that is?
I know people just aren't thinking about it. I just think it's an easier route. You know, we encourage people to build their network, have colleagues. And I mean, the ultimate colleague would be a mentor who's an expert in what you want to do. If I could give you a mentor who's a world-class fill in the blank of what your occupation is, would you want to work with that person for 5 or 10 years and learn everything you can for that person? And some people say, no, that's not right for me. And I would say, put your ego aside. What this person is going to teach you in 2 years will probably take you 10 years to learn on your own. If somebody wants to feed you that knowledge, be the sponge and learn from them. That's going to make you better. That's going to make the company better. It's just a very smart move to do rather than trying to figure it all out by yourself, which you can do. It's just going to take a lot longer.
That's good. You also, we talked about this in the pre-show about collaboration. Now, with my CL King Leadership Institute, one of the things that we're efforting to do is to help make a repository of people where they can collaborate with other leaders. Maybe people that are told in a totally different field, but yet some of the leadership principles that they've used could help this other leader. How important would you say, especially in entrepreneurship, building your business, is collaboration?
It's essential. And whether you own a business, if you just work at a company, regardless of your occupation, collaboration, building a network, having mentors. You know, it's just, if I say, if I came to your town and say, well, where's the best place to eat? Well, you're going to tell me. Or I could just go on Google reviews and read everything. And then I could say, well, where's the best place to get my car fixed? Well, I could have to do that, but it'd be nice if you knew some people. The power of your network is incredible. I've been doing some independent research, asking, because I get announcements on people getting new jobs. I've been emailing everybody, said, just out of curiosity, how are you finding the job that you're in right now? I'd say 75% of the people are saying, my network. And I'm a huge believer of this. I want people working for me while I'm sleeping. You know, you think of the most successful people in the world, they don't have more than 24 hours a day, right? So what do they have that I don't? They have more people working for them. So think about, how can I grow my network, my family, my friends, my colleagues, my classmates? How can I get them thinking about me and the things that are important to me? That's going to raise everybody. And so how do I empower more people by reaching out to them, helping them out, so then we can all work together? The bigger your network is, the better it's going to be. There's that phrase that says, rising tides lifts all ships. What are you doing to raise the tides for you, your family, and everybody by working together and getting those colleagues and that collaboration working?
Yeah, that is so true, man. I think if I didn't mention it, I think the secondary reason why we did this show, because I really wasn't doing guests at first, and I realized that I wanted to try to help people. We don't charge anybody to come on. We don't take any fees or anything like that. But if my network can help you get a step further along in your journey or up the ladder another rung, then I feel like I've done my job, because my heart is to give to people. And I'm hoping that I can help weave this throughout the conversations, you know, especially amongst leaders, that we don't have to keep all of our trade secrets to ourselves. I think you said this about that you don't have to know everything about everything, right?
Absolutely not. That's why there's people who are lawyers, accountants, IT people, sales people, customer service people, engineers. There's people for everything.
Right.
You don't have to do all those. And how long would it take you to learn all that stuff? Versus how long would it take you to network and meet people in those areas who could advise you or help you?
Right. I think you said also swallow your pride and you know, don't feel like you've got to be the jack of all trades and master of none. Now, early on, you know, you were starting. Tell me about the anxiety of making payroll. What was that like when you first started?
That was a lot. That was very heavy. You know, at the time I was younger, I was 28 years old, and I told myself, I'm going to give this everything I got for 1 to 2 years. Worst case scenario, if I have to file for bankruptcy, I will. I don't want to do that, but if I have to, I will, because I'm young enough, I'll find another job, but I really don't want that as an option. So I'm going to find a way to make this work. And I can think of two different meetings I had with three employees, where I had to tell them, guys, I'm not sure we're going to be able to make payroll this period. And because they bought into the vision and believed in what we were building, they said, that's fine. If it takes another week or 2 weeks, that's fine. And I assure them, you're going to get all your money. But those are tough conversations. But I think when you go through adverse times and you expose your ego and elevate your awareness to other people, people gravitate to that. People yeah. want to feel your emotion and feel connected to you. And so if you can be that vulnerable for people, that's how you get that buy-in. That's how you get the collaboration. That's how you build the network. If we're just superficial and I never get to know you and you don't get to know me and we just wave and say hi,
yeah,
there's nothing there. But if we go through the blood, sweat, and tears together, we've got something.
Man, and see, that is a different language than maybe some of the language that I've heard in other entities that I've worked with. Some of them even being, you know, large entities and, you know, government and such, that, you know, it's okay, you got a paycheck, you know, that's it. We don't have a real connection. And what I liken that into is that you spoke to the janitor and you let the janitor know what your vision was, and that janitor had buy-in to your vision, and you guys were walking in parallel. Now you're the CEO, but you probably got one of the cleanest buildings in the world because the janitor bought into your vision, you see. And I've seen leaders do the total opposite of what you're saying. I've seen them at the 10,000 foot level, aloof and unapproachable. And those leaders are nothing more than managers. They are not leaders at all. But what you're articulating is true leadership. And I really appreciate what you're doing there. For those of you tuning in, just for the moment, I am CL King here live at Impacting Life 24/7 with my guest, the president of Executive Staffing Solutions and Purpose and Wisdom Coaching. And so when we talked about your coaching venture that you've launched, that really spoke to me, and I talked to you about this, the title. So why did you call your coaching business Purpose and Wisdom?
So it's interesting how this came into be. So in my other company, I have everybody pick a word, and what is going to be your word? And I actually just announced it today at the office. I said, I want you to start thinking about what your word is going to be for 2021, whatever that word is, what it's going to mean to you. So my word for 2020 was action. Because I always had these ideas on things I want to do, should do, could do, but I wasn't taking action on it. So when 2020 came along early in the year, even before COVID hit, I was like, I'm going to become a certified coach because I want to use my 20 years of experience to help people have the success I've had, deal with the adversity I've dealt with, but maybe they can get all that done in a much shorter period of time. Mm-hmm. And as I went through the certification program, I realized what I'm really helping people understand is what is my purpose? What is my purpose in life? And understanding everybody has a different purpose, a different vision, different goals. And so how can I help you become your best self? Mm. And through my investigation of working through this is we all have limited beliefs. We all have thoughts that are preventing us. And the easiest example is when you have conflict with somebody, whether it's a significant other, a child or coworker, you probably respond a certain way. And you may, whether it's you shut down, you scream, you throw something, and you may not know why you're responding that way. Well, part of what a coach does is let's figure out why you're responding that way. Is that a learned behavior you saw from your family growing up? Is it because in middle school, a teacher embarrassed you, and so you're naturally lashing out? And you'll be shocked when you start digesting, why do I respond this way to this? Positive or negative, if it's relationships, your job, how your relationship is with money, people. It all comes back to what is your purpose and helping people find their purpose and help people get that wisdom. We're all looking for wisdom, and we get that from working together and talking to people. And so that's really where I came up with that title, was putting those two together, your purpose and wisdom.
Man, that's beautiful. And, you know, one of the things that I have taken away from even knowing, you know, a certified coach as such as yourself, and you know, a lot of people hear, you know, that term life coach, and they say, well, I don't need a life coach. I don't need a coach. I'm good to go. But you broke this down really good for me to understand in terms of the coaching model in various other constructs and how we look at ourselves, and maybe we can understand better how a coach could bring value. So let's just ask the question, why a life coach? Why a coach? Why would someone need one?
I asked that same question until I went through this. And now I realize every coach, every musician you listen to has a coach. Every professional athlete you see on TV has a coach. Some CEOs have coaches. You're going to see a growth of this profession over the next 5 to 10 years as people get coaches. But there's a stigma that when I'm done with, you know, middle school, high school, college, or whatever, I don't need any more coaches. I don't need to learn anything else. I'm just going to turn that book closed that I need a coach. And I've seen it firsthand what a coach can do. Just with speaking to people for an hour, the realization that a coach can provide for you on things that are holding you back from becoming your best self that you're not even aware of it. And the perfect example I can give to you, just looking at you, CL, I can see all these colors behind you on the wall, and I could tell you every color. You probably can name 3, 4, 5, but that's what a coach does. A coach is honed in. I can see everything about you and the little cues you give me, but because you're this way, you don't see them. And that's really what we do, is uncover everything that's preventing you from being your best self.
Right. And I think we talked about this also in terms of investing in yourself. And you know, you when you really, because you talk, we're tying this in for entrepreneurship as well as you know, okay, how can I refine myself? A lot of times, you know, people don't make the investments in themselves after like you say, high school or college. They go and make the investment in the company or go make the investment in other things, but then they wonder why, man, I've always had this in the back of my mind that I wanted to do, or I've always had this passion and desire, but I never invested in me. Is that selfish for someone to invest in themselves?
Can you think of any place else you'd rather invest your money than in yourself? Is there a better investment than you becoming your best self?
Right.
So let's unpack that for a second. What happens when you become your best self? Do you become a better spouse, a better parent, a better friend, a better coworker? Are you happier? Do you feel more fulfilled? Are you able to impact your community and other people? The answer to all that stuff is yes. But society, we believe that it's, am I being selfish for taking care of myself? Am I being selfish for taking time by myself or journaling or meditating or working out or just going for a walk by myself? That's starting to change. And people are saying, no, you do need to take care of yourself to become your best self. But part of that is some of that's going to cost some money, whether it's you take a class to become better with your IT skills or become a better public speaker. Whatever it is, you've got to figure out what's right for you. But I'm a firm believer that everybody should invest in themselves, whatever dollar amount makes sense to them, to improve themselves.
Now, do you have a website for your coaching apparatus of your business? Do you have a website?
Yes, I do. It's purposeandwisdomcoaches.com.
Purposeandwisdomcoaches.com. And I know there are many of you that are associated with me that are like right on the cusp of, you know, I'm going to this next level. And I'm telling you that sometimes, like he said, that was a great explanation. You know, I can maybe tell you two or three colors behind me, but he's seeing it from a totally different vantage point. And I talked to him about this, and I'm just going to be kind of direct with some of y'all that's penny pinchers. When I started this podcast, I started it cheaply, okay? I was cheap, and I was trying to get to the pearly gates of podcasting the cheap way. I had a cheap free hosting platform. I had no equipment, nothing. And someone said to me, actually Wally, the man who made the music on our intro, he said, listen, King, I know you're a speaker, I know you're dynamic, but if you're going this route, you got to make an investment. And it was like, okay, invest in what? You're investing in yourself, brother. And I was like, oh, yeah, because I don't want people to hear CL King sounding like some Cracker Jack box podcaster when they've heard me speak professionally and they know what I deliver. So, of course, I've got to give whatever it costs so that when people see me on the other end of that camera, they see the CL King they've grown accustomed to. And that was an investment, and it wasn't cheap. And now it has given me the opportunity, making that investment in myself, to also carry that investment over to others. And so I'm really thankful that you have gotten into this and opened this door, and explained to people why, you know, your coaching businesses is maybe a fit for them. So give your website one more time, so if people want to reach out to you.
Yeah, it's purposeandwisdomcoaches.com.
Purposeandwisdomcoaches.com. And also you can find Aaron Wanke on Facebook and Instagram and other social medias. And let me just tell you how to spell how you see his name. I was just butchering it, trying to say it earlier off camera. So it's Aaron, WANDTKE, like Wanke. So Aaron Wanke, and you can connect with him on all various social media platforms. Again, he's a successful entrepreneur and business builder, got over 20 people working for him, created a great company there in Columbus, Ohio. But one other thing that I wanted to touch on, because we uncovered this in the last portion of our pre-show, is that Aaron, I mean, he might look like he's 25, but he's got a little gray hair up there. And part of that may be just in some small measure because of the four young ladies that he has, that he's raised over the past 20 plus years. So you got four daughters, right?
I do. I'm very blessed to have four daughters.
And I've got three, and I know exactly what you mean. They make the world go round. But you've given your daughters, and I thought this was really interesting when you submitted for the show. I was like, man, this is really interesting. That you tell your daughters a particular mantra or you give them some instructions about life. What are your instructions to them?
Well, I feel like probably everybody in your audience has went bowling at some point.
Right.
You know how they have those bumper guards on both sides? I see that's what my job as a parent is. I'm the bumpers. But I make them V-shaped. And so the older my kids get, the wider that V gets until they become independent, which is what I want them to be. But I always tell them, it's easier to ask for forgiveness than for permission. I want my kids to go for it. I want them to be aggressive in life. I want them to discover themselves, to be their best selves. And I feel like the media and the helicopter parent mentality, we're so involved in our kids. You got to get the best grades. You got to go to the best college. You got to get the best job. Then you got to get married. Then you got to have kids. And you got to save for retirement. And you just got to be yourself.
Right.
You got to figure out what is happy to you. What is fulfilling to you? And what's great about it, as an adult, you realize when you see these kids, how did I even create these kids? They're so different than me. But they're on their journey, just like you're on your journey. Your kids are on different journeys. There's going to be times on that journey where they're really going to need you. And there's times that they're really not going to need you. And as a parent, that's really hard to swallow, to think, man, my kid's not going to need me at some point. Well, they will, but not the way that you think that. Right. When I run over and pick them up, that's how we learn. We learn from adversity. We learn from getting knocked down. It's not how many times you get knocked down. It's how many times you get back up.
Wow.
And let's teach our kids to get up on their own, because they're going to become stronger people, stronger leaders, better contributors to the community, and just going to help make everybody better.
Man, that's good. And you know, I've got seven children, and I think that I refined my parenting skills to more of what you're discussing as I've gotten older, because I will testify, I was that helicopter dad at first. And we were looking at some videos last night of us, you know, 10 years ago. And I'm just like, man, so much has changed. And you're right. All of our kids are on a journey. And that bumper rail analogy is really, really powerful in that that's not a circle. That's a V. And you give them their space to make mistakes and give them their space to go, you know, awry but letting them know, hey, listen, I want you to have the mental freedom to go after it, you know, to be aggressive. And that's important. And I think that message still is a message that works today. You know, when I talk to leaders and folks trying to get their self together, I'm like, man, one of the things that you got to realize is that playing it safe may be smart in the stock market sometimes, but man, you can't play it safe in every single area of your life. Sometimes you just have to go for it. And you told your girls that that's a good parenting strategy. Now raising four girls, how are they all, do they all have uniquely different personalities?
Completely different.
Yeah.
It's funny, I just went shopping for him the other day, and I was trying to describe to the salesperson the style of the first one versus the second versus the third. She's like, wow, you even know their styles. I was like, I can't stay on top of all this stuff. There's a lot going on there. But I love it that they're confident in themselves and being themselves and figure out what works for them.
Man, that's powerful, man. And I would say that message you could transcend to and translate to some parents today, because there is a lot of uncertainty right now, Aaron. And, you know, we don't, you know, everybody's on the hanging on the the edge of, okay, are we getting the vaccine and, you know, blah, 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 and all that. But listen, I bought a brand new car, a brand new SUV in the middle of a pandemic, bought a brand new home in the middle of a pandemic, and I realized that those were still my dreams and I was going to go after it. I wasn't going to wait till they was going to stick me with a needle to go get me a house to live in. And so I want to, in the last closing minutes, if we can put, and I know I'm putting a lot on you, but you're up for the task. If I want you to put your coaching hat on just for the last portion of this segment. And I want you to speak to my audience that listens at all different time zones. And I want you to speak to them about how to close out 2020 and how to go into 2021. What would you, as a coach, you're talking to 7 billion people, but you only got a minute to tell them, hey, man, listen, what would Coach Aaron say to them?
What a great question. I love this question. I would start by asking you this question. If you keep doing what you're doing today, is the accomplishment of your goal inevitable? If not, what needs to change? And if something needs to change, what needs to change? And the next step from there is, what is one thing you can do tonight or tomorrow that will bring you one step closer to that change? And I think this really hits home with people who are parents is, what example do you want to set for your kids?
Right.
How do you want your kids to look at their mom and dad? Do they want to look at you and say, man, my mom and dad kept working, kept getting better? Or do you want them to just say, yeah, we were happy with the status quo. We didn't want to go outside our comfort zone. We just wanted to play it safe. And I think most people want to be the example that their kids look up to and admire. So what do you need to change in your life? You've always wanted to be
for one tomorrow. Yeah, sorry, we froze up there. Do you remember the last little sentence that you said there?
Yes, it was, what is something you can do tonight or tomorrow to take you one step closer to that goal you've got for yourself?
Yeah, that's powerful. And you know, Aaron, I see why people want to work for you. I see why people want to say that it's the best place to work in Columbus, Ohio, because some of the nuggets I know that you have shared with our audience tonight are things that you live by every day you go into the office at Executive Staffing Solutions. And also, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to connect with Aaron because he's got a great coaching business where he helps people understand their purpose and wisdom, and how to glean wisdom from the various experiences in their life and get on track, get aligned. He gave us some very, very powerful words. I'm gonna have to go back and listen to that thing he said at the end, because it was just absolutely profound. Like, if you kept doing what you're doing, what did you say? If you keep doing what you're doing, are your goals inevitable? Man, you gotta ask yourself that, ladies and gentlemen, as you go into 2021. If you keep doing what you did in 2020 and you carry that into 2021, are your goals and the achievement of those goals inevitable? And if not, there's some things we gotta work on. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, this is why I really love doing this podcast, because we get to meet such dynamic people. Aaron Wanke, president of Executive Staffing Solutions and also president and founder of Purpose and Wisdom Coaching. Aaron, you have done a fantastic job. We will go ahead and get you scheduled offline for 2021. And we're going to work together, because what you gave was golden nuggets for sure.
Thank you. I really appreciate being on and glad to do whatever I can do to help support you and your program.
All right, so ladies and gentlemen, you heard it there. Aaron, before you go, give your website one more time so people can know how they can get up with you, brother.
Absolutely. It's purposeandwisdomcoaches.com. There's a lot of information on that site. There's a way for you to connect with me directly. And It also says on the site that your first phone call with me is 100% free, 1 hour for free, to figure out what a coach is and how I may be able to help you.
Check that out, man. I got him for an hour for free, too. Check that out. I got him for an hour and a half. But this don't count to my coaching session yet, okay? I'll tell you when I want my free coaching. So Aaron Wahnke from Columbus, Ohio, president of Executive Staffing Solutions and also president of Purpose and Wisdom Coaching. We thank you so much for being on the show, Aaron. We look forward to having you back on in 2021, okay, sir?
Yes, thank you.
All right, have a good night now. All right, so ladies and gentlemen, that is the wrap for the show today. And I'm really, really glad that we had that show. I don't know what the deal is sometimes. 1 minute the weather's nice and the system works well, and the other times the system wants to be finicky. But we plowed through it. And this is why it's important for you to subscribe to the podcast. The podcast is at impactinglife247.podbean.com. Or you can go to our website, CL King Speaker, and click on the podcast link and subscribe there, because there you get kind of the uninterrupted version from the live. And Aaron Wahnke really gave us some dynamic keys to take into, to close out this year and go into 2021. I really don't think we realize how powerful, you know, we are as human beings when we make an investment in ourselves. So listen, man, if you want to start your business and maybe you don't have the resources and capacity to start from the ground up, do what he said. Go connect with a business that may be in your area of influence and your area of appreciation and your area of background, and go work there and let them know your intentions, man. I want to, especially if it's a CEO or a president that's, you know, in the latter sunset hours of his time at the company, go there and connect. Man, he also talked about partnerships and collaboration. That's so, so important. That's what we're going to be doing tomorrow night. We won't have a live show here tomorrow night. I'll be with our CL King Leadership Institute leaders, and we're just going to have a time of fellowship and collaboration to hear what everybody's doing, how everyone is doing, and what everybody's doing over the past 9 months and going on into 2021. So again, I'm very, very thankful for Aaron and his time. He was very humble in what he, you know, described about his business, but he built a multi-million-dollar business as well as this dynamic coaching business that he has. And so right there in Columbus, Ohio, south of my old stomping grounds. So you will join back with me on Thursday. Don't look for a show tomorrow. I'll be with the leaders tomorrow night. But look for me on Thursday right here on Impacting Life 24/7 with your host, CL King. Really, it's really simple. We want you to subscribe. We want you to connect. We want you to be a part, because in 2021, the throttle is down. We're just going to continue to push on and continue to help people get exposure that they may not otherwise have had. And we're going to try to lift other people up, because if I can lift you up and you get higher than me, maybe you'll remember that and reach down and pull me up. That's collaboration, ladies and gentlemen. I said the pie is big enough for everyone to get a slice. All right, so Aaron taught us a lot. Aaron, yeah, you're right, Greg. I learned a lot myself, man. I knew this was going to be a great show because of what he does, but I didn't realize the dynamics of what he was going to put out and give us tonight. That was a lot of stuff. I felt like I just sent the brother a check for coaching us. Anyway, again, Monday night at 8:30, Tuesday night at 8:30, and Thursday night at 8:30, Impacting Life 24/7. With your host, CL King. You see us here live and also on all the podcast major outlets. We just submitted a package to, what is it? Where did I submit a package to, y'all? Oh my goodness, another major outlet. I can't remember. See, this is what you get. This is what you get for getting old. Oh, Pandora. That's what it was. I was submitted a package to Pandora for us to have our show on there, our podcast on Pandora. And Pandora has about 63 million listeners. So I said, hey, let's go. So it takes several weeks to get approved, and hopefully we'll be approved there. and just continue to grind it out, man. I want this platform to be something that everybody wants to come to, and there's no strings attached. We just want to bless you and help you and elevate you. Okay? Again, Monday night, 8:30. Tuesday night, 8:30. And Thursday night, 8:30, all Eastern Standard Time, right here on Impacting Life 24/7 with your host, CL King. Thank you so much, Greg, for helping us out in the background. And we'll see you guys on Thursday. Take care.